Although good, but what if it is not merely midnight which will be driven away by the golden dawn? What if, like the Egyptian bard in our picture, we are literally and physically blind? What if there is some bodily malady that brings darkness into our lives, even if physical sight is still there? Well, let us consider Luke 13, 35 to 42.
Thank you guys for the reading of the Lord's Word. And as he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a multitude going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. You may be seated.
All very good, but healing does not come to every physical malady. And is there to be the song, even then, the Te Deum, even then, yes, even then. Ah, yes, but I suspect you feel at this point, as I did when I arrived here in the preparation of this introduction to the Te Deum, isn't this all cruel law? How can I rejoice upon command? I know you're right. I know the exhortation is needed, but does it enable? It jabs into my lethargy, but it doesn't rouse me to joy. That makes me angry, resentful. Is there still hope? Yes. And I would like to put it in this way. That though the law can do something, I can coerce myself to part with a little of that filthy lucre that I love. You might even taught me, if I could do it, into singing in the choir. You might persuade me that I ought to drag myself to that boring voters' meeting. But to rejoice upon command, I can put on the plastic smile. But it doesn't fool anybody. It revolts them and it even disgusts me. What else is there? I tell you, Dan. Ah, yes. Because here is the good news, and I try to put it this way, thank God, you can even praise God by confessing if you find it hard to praise God. That's true. Well, I can do a play better. Even when I don't feel like doing it, forgiving and doing it, admitting to God, I find a hard time putting my heart into this. I want to, I wish that I could. Now, where did I get the audacity to formulate such a proposition? I derive it from and base it upon this amazing fact that I want to recall to your attention, that the phrase in Scripture, give God the praise, twice means confess your sin, admit you are wrong. Now, if I praise God by admitting that I'm a sinner and I'm wrong, then when can I not praise God? No matter how deeply I'm plunged into dismal guilt and the anguish of a guilty conscience, I can still make my confession to God that I'm in this wretched state. And giving God the praise, confessing your sin, come to be equated. I refer to Achan in the Old Testament. You remember Joshua 7:19. Where Joshua tells Achan, after he has absconded with and hidden away some of the booty, my son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and render praise to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Give praise to him. And in John 9:24, the man who was born from birth, after he has been healed, and the enemies of our Lord want him to join in trying to discredit the Lord, what do they say to him? God the praise. Give God the praise and admit how wrong you were to be taken in by this Jesus.
And for you, a Greek and Hebrew back, I remind you that the Hebrew says there, Asim na kavod, the word as our Hebrew colleagues remind us, kavod, glory, and the Septuagint simply has Dostan, and St. John has the same thing, Dostan, good word for giving glory to God. And Gaelic in his Hebrew New Testament says, Tain kavod, quite literally, give glory. How can it be that the confession to praise God? Where is the admission of need? I can't help myself out of this sin of joylessness. And only God can do it. And when I admit it, that God can and does do it, and experience that he does it, then I can take up that chant, Holy Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. In fact, to God alone, there cannot be the glory unless I recognize my abject state. I think it's very interesting that one of the words for praise in the Greek word, aneo, means basically to tell a story. In fact, you even have an inner accusative. I name, to tell a tale. I think in this way we can get the message of the gospel at this point. Telling a tale, and then it becomes praise. But the tale that I have to tell about myself, that's pretty sordid and shabby with sin and iniquity. And I tell that. But then there's another more glorious story. It's a story about God. About God who loved this wretched, sinful world, in a manner of speaking, more than he loved his own son, because he didn't give up on the world, but he did give up his son on a cross to die for this sinful world. And now when you tell that story of our sins and of God's glorious love, then you've got Inos in the sense of praise. So, to our confession, the tale of our woe and the tale of God's glory, we arrive at that point that we can sing a tale in. When do you sing a tale in? Well, we read in Job, God gives songs in the night. Songs in the night. Spurgeon has some pungent comment in his sermon. Any fool can sing in the day. But no man can make a song in the night by himself. Thank God we have called unto do it. It is not in man's power to sing when all is at birth. Methinks in the Red Sea, any man could have made a song like that of Moses. The horse and his rider as he thrown into the sea. The difficulty would have been to compose a song before the Red Sea had been divided, and to sing it before Pharaoh's host had been drowned. Songs in the night come only from God. They are not in the power of man. So, when you sing a Te Deum, since the Te Deum comes from God before it is directed to God, you sing a Te Deum at all times. That's right now. Let us rise and turn to the responsive prayer.